I'm Marty Moscoane. If you're thinking about it, chances are we're talking about it on WHYY's Radio Times.
Radio Times, I'm Marty Moscoane. Today on the program, the Northern City Shift. Linguists such as my guest, William LaBove, has been documenting a change in the way that more than 30 million Americans living in places like Rochester, Chicago, Buffalo, and Detroit pronounce certain vowels. Now, this may not sound significant to you, but to linguists, this is significant. LaBove also says that regional dialects are getting more, not less, pronounced. We're going to play some recordings to illustrate some of these vowel shifts and to highlight some regional dialects that makes American English so interesting. But let me first introduce our guests. William LaBove is a professor of linguistics in the Department of Linguistics at the University of Pennsylvania, co-author with Sharon Ash and Charles Boberg of a book entitled Atlas of North American English Phonetics, Phonology, and Sound Change. It's been a couple of years, Bill LaBove. Nice to have you back with us on Radio Times. Good morning.
It's good to be here.
And I do want to put out a special call to our listeners, especially those of you either from or who grew up in places like Rochester, Chicago, Buffalo, and Detroit. We want to hear how you talk. Give us a call. 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. How long has it been, or when did you begin to notice this vowel shift that you and other linguists are talking about?
In the early 1970s, we saw this whole pattern, but we didn't know how big it was because we only studied certain cities. Now the atlas is finished, and it's like turning on the lights. We can see the whole continent, and we find that this vowel change runs from Syracuse, Rochester, Buffalo, as you mentioned, on to Detroit, Cleveland, Toledo, Chicago, and then around to Kenosha and Milwaukee. So it's about 34 million people marching in the same direction.
And when you talk about a vowel shift, give us an example. What are there specific vowels that you're noticing the shift
with? It's the vowels that are spelled with the short A, as in that.
That.
Come out as that.
That.
And happen is happen. And then behind that, the vowels that are spelled with short O move forward. So we play the word black, and then senior citizens living one block, and people realize that these people are pronouncing block the way they say black. And then you'll hear something like buses pronounced as bosses. So people talk about the bosses with the antennas on top. We always used to ride on these bosses with the antennas on top.
The U and the O.
So what we see is a great game of musical chairs is unusual because most of the changes that have been taking place in the English language have been with the long vowels. That's why our long vowels are so different from French and Spanish. And the short vowels have stayed put for 1,000 years. And all of a sudden, along about 1950, they started to rotate.
Well, and the obvious follow-up question is, why? Do linguists know why this is happening?
There are too many theories about why, and we're trying to pin them down. We have done a lot of research in discovering who is doing it in a given city or community. People will quickly give us answers to that. But language is made to communicate. And the fact is that these sound changes make it more difficult for us to understand people from other dialects.
Because we obviously are confusing what we're hearing. They mean one thing when they say bosses. We hear something else.
We hear all the time. About one quarter of our natural misunderstandings come from dialect differences, even within the city. We perform these experiments where we play individual words to people, and even from people in the same community find it hard to understand sounds the way they pronounce themselves. For example, people talk about white watches. And if you take that first part, it sounds like white.
But it's actually weight watchers, right?
Yeah. And seventh grade.
Seventh grade.
But more typically, someone will say, I was baiting on him. And it'll let you win. And so beating comes out like baiting. So the South is full of these. And we've known about the South for a long time. People are very self-conscious of the South. The Northern City Shift is new. And people don't know about it. And they don't really get nervous about it.
Well, you know, I'd like to play a clip. And this, actually, you gave us a bunch of clips to play on the air so that our listeners could hear what it is you're talking about. And this is a person from Syracuse, and this will be demonstrating this Northern City Shift. Anything you think our listeners should be listening for?
Well, you're probably used to saying Catholic. Let's listen to how he says Catholic.
Okay. And just leave it at
we
that.
We belong to a church that's called the Polish National Catholic Church. It's not affiliated with the Roman Catholic, but it grew up as a or it developed as a result of Poles in Scranton, Pennsylvania, feeling that they were not being served by the Roman Catholic Church, and they began their own church at the time.
Well, that, and we can hear that, Catholic.
Right. So Syracuse, Rochester, Buffalo are right on the line of the Erie Canal. They were created by the Erie Canal. And something happened when people from all over New England and New York came together to build that canal back in 1825. And the theory is that all these words spelled with short A got together and decided they're going to go up. And so they will sound like got Catholic, but Catholic.
Catholic.
Not that, but that. So when he says Scranton, we say fine, we all say Scranton. But only in this area do people say Catholic and that, and no one got scared of that fact.
Well, and it is interesting because you and other linguists have said that regional dialects are actually not getting less but more pronounced. Why is that? And I ask that because folks will say, well, you know, everyone's watching CNN. There's so much mass media that's used by the masses. There's so much pop culture that everyone shares in common. Why are we still seeing these regional differences when there's so much that people hear that's absolutely the same, no matter whether you're in Seattle or Buffalo or Scranton?
Let me try my two-minute answer.
Okay.
We're hesitating between two kinds of explanations. One, it has to do with the machinery of the sounds, that it's like being on a railroad track that's going from north to south and south to north. And once you get started in that direction, you can't turn around and go back. That's one whole set of answers we have. So that north of a certain line, what we call the North Midland line, the vowels pronounced as but are going back towards but, and buses towards bosses. And south of the line, they're going the other direction, so people say bus and
yeah,
but.
Yeah.
That's one whole set of answers. And the other has to do with ideology. This area we're talking about was settled by Yankees from New England, and they had a whole program of converting the people in the wilderness and improving the world and being sure that everybody behaved right. And that ideology still is there. And the area in which this northern city shift takes place is pretty close to the blue states.
So you think it's a red state, blue state thing?
It's hard to prove, but there are suggestions that behind this northern city shift is the fact that certain political ideas and opinions that are still transmitted being a little bit different in a different way in the north than in the Midland.
Well, this may not be a fair question. So if that were to be true, if it's a red state, blue state thing, then why does someone say Catholic instead of Catholic?
This is all quite unconscious, and I'm only putting this forward to show you that there are two explanations of every kind of human behavior. One is we're machines.
Right.
And we have certain physical apparatus that makes us do certain things, and we don't even aware of that. And the other is we have feelings and values that are in languages that carry of those things. Mm-hmm. And we're always hesitating between those two explanations. Some people think that everything we do is going to maximize our social position. And the other people think, well, we really don't know exactly why we're doing what we're doing, but we do it.
Interesting. You know what? Let me get a caller. We had Lizette, who called us up from Center City, Philadelphia, and she grew up in one of these northern cities, grew up in Buffalo. Is that right, Lizette?
Yes, I did.
All right. And do you know what we're talking about when we talk about this northern city shift in the vowels?
I hear about it, but I actually don't think I speak like that. But everyone tells me that I do. So I was curious what your input was.
Well, say the word C-A-T-H-O-L-I-C.
Catholic.
Say it again.
Catholic.
Yeah.
Well, no, you don't have that sound of Catholic that we just heard. You know, the wonderful thing about the northern city shift is people aren't self-conscious, and they don't, not like in New York or Boston where they shift when you ask them how you speak. And I suppose by telling people about it, we're contributing to kind of self-consciousness, but knowing about things doesn't really change it anyhow.
Well, and I think people don't generally know how they feel. It usually is a revelation when they hear their voice recorded somewhere.
It's extremely common for people to be astonished when you point out that certain words are the same and different. In this northern city shift, C-O-T is cat, and C-A-G-H-T is caught. They're different. But for half the geographic United States and half the listeners, those words are exactly the same. So instead of saying Don Hawk married Dawn Hawk, We say Don Hawk married Don Hawk.
Lisette, thanks. Excuse me. Thanks for calling into Radio Times. We do have some open lines at 1-888-477-9499. Talking with linguist William Labov, and I'm slowly losing my voice here. I do want to play another clip, and you brought us one from Canada. It's a very short clip, but again, since we're talking about some of these vowel sounds, what should we listen for in this particular clip?
Canada is really helpful here because right across the river from Detroit is Windsor. And then a little further up is this town of Arnprior. And Canada is moving in the opposite direction from Detroit and Buffalo. So what you'll hear is that this word spelled with short A in ask and that are very, very wide open. It's like your mouth's wide open. And that's part of what we call the Canadian shift, moving in exactly the opposite direction, right across the river. And you also hear the stereotype Canadian sound of hoose, which is what marks Canadians as Canadian for most people. And that's been around a long time.
But you say listen more for words like hard with an A in it, right? For the purposes of our discussion?
Yeah.
Okay, let's listen.
Kind of hard to move a family and keep a house type of thing. You can have roots and it's a buyer's market. You want to ask for your house, you might not only get half of it.
Market. That was interesting. That sort of market, which is how I would hear it.
Right. In this area, the A comes before an R, is profoundly influenced by the R. So it comes out not as market, but market.
Huh. But
the you heard him say house.
House.
And half. So it's those words like half, which are spelled with the letter A, which are moving in the opposite direction from the Detroit, Buffalo, Syracuse area.
Would it be fair to say, though, when words begin to sound different, that the consonants pretty much stay the same? It's the vowels that are more malleable. You talked about the hard vowels. Now we're talking more about soft vowels.
Yeah, and it's the softer consonants that are changing, too. So R and L are the ones that change quite a bit in different parts of the United States. But most of the time, people identify themselves by their vowel systems,
right,
not the consonants.
Right.
In our particular part of the world.
Well, and I wonder, too, just because the country is getting more and more diverse, I don't know whether there's a lag time when you look at language and how people speak language. Are we beginning to see the influence of Asian Americans and Hispanic Americans?
The older ethnic groups that arrived, Poles, Greeks, Italians, didn't really influence the language. They just moved into the dialects and pushed them a little further. Hispanic Americans have developed a new native type of English, which is a little bit different.
Huh.
It's the first really ethnic dialect we had. We don't know exactly what direction all the Asians are moving because there are so many different Asian groups here and there, and that's a big question mark still, exactly whether there's going to be a different way of speaking for Asian Americans. Probably not.
Well, that's William Labov, our guest today on Radio Times. He's a professor of linguistics at the University of Pennsylvania and co-author with Sharon Ash and Charles Boberg of a book entitled Atlas of North American English Phonetics, Phonology, and Sound Change. And we're going to play some more sounds from this book after this short break. Also take some more of your phone calls as well. 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Penn's Medical Center supports WHYY. Doctors at Penn's OBGYN and Mood Clinic are conducting research into non-hormonal herbal treatments of menopause and anxiety. Symptoms may include mood changes, hot flashes, nervousness, tension, and sleep problems. Those who qualify will receive an initial evaluation and may take part in a research study with black cohosh or chamomile for up to 3 months. Details, 215-662-3462. 215-662-3462.
I've got no strings to hold.
A legendary performance by one of America's greatest singers comes to WHYY TV 12. Tonight at 9, Barbra Streisand stars in the acclaimed 1966 television special Color Me Barbra, immediately recognized as the work of a brilliantly original talent. The incredible Barbra Streisand in a 40th anniversary presentation of Color Me Barbra. Tonight at 9. Only on WHYY TV 12, your arts and culture station.
David Mamet has teamed up with Sean Ryan, the creator of the FX series The Shield, to create the new CBS series The Unit, about a covert military unit. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Mamet and Ryan about their new series, and then we'll talk with Ryan about The Shield. I'm Terry Gross. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 here on WHYY 91 FM.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY. For just joining us, we're talking about something that linguists call the Northern City Shift. And our guest is linguist William LaBeouf. And we're playing interesting clips from some of the research he's been doing and others have been doing where they document this Northern City Shift, looking at regional ways that people pronounce words and trying to figure out why and how that happens. We also do want to take some more of your phone calls, 1-888-477-9499. Let's have our listeners listen to something from Pittsburgh. And Bill LaBeouf, you were telling me during the break what I should listen for. Let's tell them the same thing.
Well, Pittsburgh is a unique city in American dialects. And the people in Pittsburgh know about this. Downtown, you'll hear, is downtown. This is called a diphthong ow becoming a monophthong ah. And it's unique to this city. But Pittsburgh is also one of the cities where caught and caught are caught and caught. All those sets of words fall together, and that's triggered off another shift, which is not the same as the Canadian shift, the same cause, but different effects, in which the words pronounced like duck move down towards dock, because dock has become dock.
So the U and the O become interchangeable, is that?
No, because the words spelled with short O have gone off and joined the words that we see as A-W, like caught and caught. But the downtown is the hallmark of the Pittsburgh speech.
And you spell it D-A-H-N-T-A-H-N.
Well, that's the way the Pittsburgh newspapers talk about it, too. So it's not a secret.
Let's listen.
Then if they have something going on downtown, they got that point where they got the three rivers coming together. They have a lot of different things down there, regattas. Highland Park's only about 5 minutes from my house. That's where the zoo's at. And then they got North Park, South Park. That's all for picnics and swimming.
That's interesting. House. I also heard
and you
house.
Heard, you didn't quite know what he was saying. South Park was
yes.
South Park.
South Park.
Yeah.
But you're saying there's something unique about Pittsburgh? Or
it's the only city in the United States where this happens. In London, owl can become ah, but nowhere else in North America. So we talked about the fact that in the northern city shift, it covers this vast area and people are all moving the same direction.
Right.
Well, south of this North Midland line, all the cities are different. So we have Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, St. Louis, and they're all quite different.
Well, let's get back to our callers. We've got Beth from Philadelphia joining us this morning on Radio Times. Hi, Beth. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I grew up in Detroit, and since moving here, I've had a lot of people tell me that I have a Michigan accent.
Uh-huh.
And it's not always the A thing. I've noticed it's some of the O sounds, and sometimes like an O-U sound, specifically like I say tour instead of tour. I don't know. I can't do it.
Oh,
the other
is it like
way,
a tour a tour guide. You say a tour. Say it again.
Tour guide?
Tour guide. I'm looking at Bill LaBeouf.
An interesting point, which I hadn't caught before.
Sort of this O-U sound that...
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I don't know if it's a Detroit, because being close to Canada, like another O sound, like in dollar and hockey kind of sounds different
right.
to other people here. And it's not quite a Canadian sound either, but it's sort of weird. I don't know.
The word hockey? Hockey?
Yeah.
Bill LaBeouf?
Well, that hockey and dollar are those short O words that are kind of sliding forward towards where the short A words were, and that's been the source of lots of misunderstanding. So when you hear a person, Scott Turow, for example, novelist on the air, you hear him saying, you've got a big job there. And that got and job are one of the hallmarks of this northern city shift. What we should point out is that broadcast pronunciation was based upon the northern area of the turn of 1950, and John Kenyon influenced NBC to create the NBC pronunciation guide based upon people from the Chicago, Detroit area, educated speech. And the people from the Midland got very indignant about this. The linguists felt, why should the Chicago speech have become the basis for this pronunciation? And now perhaps God has answered us by changing the speech of people in everyday life so that even the very educated people from this area are no longer speaking broadcast pronunciation.
And good for them, I say. Are there class differences, though, as you look at some of these pronunciations that are tied to regions?
Class differences are very large in the South, in New York City, and Boston. But this is a new shift, and it's not heavily differentiated by class. It's true, working class people, especially those who are really going somewhere, are the leading exponents of it. But our leading speakers of the Northern City shift come from freshman girls in college, local schools like University of Chicago, Illinois Chicago Circle. And there's no great self-consciousness. Class stratification is not a major feature of new sound changes. It's something that happens at the end.
Oh, that's interesting. Beth, thanks for calling into Radio Times. Let me get Eve from Philadelphia to join us. Hi, Eve, go ahead. Hi, Eve, go ahead, you're Radio Times. Nope, we don't have her. Speaking of the word Philadelphia, it gets pronounced more and more, I think, like Fulladelphia, F-U-L-L. Is that something you've observed?
It was pointed out by a columnist for the Inquirer that the best way to pronounce Philadelphia and be local is F-L-U-F-F-Y-A.
Oh, Philadelphia.
Fluffia.
Right.
And the real fast. So there's a tendency for all cities to try to contract the name into a single syllable, and sometimes they make it like Balmer.
Balmer, right.
But Fluffia is still two syllables.
Yes, it is. Let's see. Should I try Kathy again? We'll try Kathy calling us from Bluebell.
Hello?
Go ahead. Hi, you're on Radio Times. Go ahead.
Hi, I was just calling. I grew up in the Detroit area, and I've lived out here for about 17 years. And I wanted to first mention a conversation I had when I was skiing in Michigan, chatting with a woman from Windsor who commented on we could definitely tell you're not from Detroit anymore. You definitely sound like you're from Philadelphia.
Right.
And the question kind of related is, have you noticed when people move about how long it takes for an accent to shift, if it does?
And I heard you say accent, Kathy. Go ahead.
Every once in a while,
We change the surface, so the sounds shift a little bit backwards, but the fundamental system doesn't change. People exaggerate the extent to which they shift their speech. They say, "I'm a chameleon. I change my speech according to who I'm talking to," and that's true to a certain extent. But deep down, which sounds go with what words doesn't change very much. So if you're a person who has caught when you were a kid, you're still doing it. And if you say cotton caught, you'll still be doing it.
Hey, yeah. Kathy, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. What country is Toronto in?
Canada. Oh. I guess that gave it away, huh?
Well, that A sound is raised to Canada in many parts of the United States, especially before the letters M and N. So if you go to eastern New England, you hear people saying Alabama, family, but that cat, rat, sat, half. So the thing that's unique about the Northern City shift is that all the short A words make this march upward. We say up. Let's say the most extreme form, the girl's name Ann.
Yes.
And the boy's name
I-A-N.
Ian.
Yes.
Are exactly the same.
So Ann is Ann.
Oh.
Right. Kathy,
no.
Thanks.
Thank you. Very fascinating. Thanks
for calling into Radio Times.
Bye-bye.
Let me just quickly reintroduce you. William LaBeouf is our guest today on the show. He's a linguist, and he's also co-author of a book entitled Atlas of North American English Phonetics, Phonology, and Sound Change. And we're talking about some interesting vowel shifts that he and other linguists have noted. The Northern City Shift, looking at the accents of people who live in and around Chicago, Detroit, Cleveland, Buffalo, and Rochester. We're also playing clips of other accents from around the country. In fact, I would like to play another clip from Birmingham, Alabama. The last one was from Pittsburgh. But again, to you, Bill LaBeouf, just a setup for our listeners about what they should listen for with this Birmingham clip.
Well, Birmingham is the leading example of the Southern accent as fully developed. It's in Birmingham, Chattanooga, Knoxville, is what we call the Inland South. Let's just play that, and we're all familiar a little bit with Southern accent. Most people have got a Southern accent imitation, and people from the South are very conscious of it, but they don't think about all the things that are taking place.
Let's listen.
The majority of them that live here, they, you know, like professional people, like for the phone company or medical buildings, and professional buildings on South Side, that's in Birmingham.
Well, you know what you hear is someone said lingering over the words as they speak them. I'm saying this as a non-linguist, obviously.
Well, what you heard is saying live and buildings. So those words that are spelled with a short I have become ear. So kid will become kid. And set, I was so upset, becomes ea. In the meantime, the words that are what we call long vowels move down. So beaten will become baten. And paper, paper. And same as same. So we all of that is triggered off by the one thing that everybody knows about, I becomes ah. Why don't we play that guy from Nashville and...
Okay, do we have Nashville set up there? And that would be, I think, number 6, Nashville, Tennessee. Do we have that, Scotty? I'm not sure it made it to our list for whatever reason. But we're talking about then pronouncing these vowels in a different part of our mouth, are we not? To say
right.
Canada.
If you want to get a feeling for what the tongue and the lips are doing to change these sounds, you have to kind of introspect and say, not kid, but kid. And you'll feel your tongue moving way up towards the front. And when you say, this fellow from Nashville was saying, revival. And revival, your tongue lies flat in the bottom of your mouth and the sound comes pouring out.
Let me get, actually, we do have Nashville, a perfect setup for it. Let's listen.
And then there's some manufacturing that's come in here from Nissan and what's that, the Saturn plant. It's actually reviving. It was pretty much lost in the late 60s, 70s, and there's been a pretty big revival.
And there's that word revival.
Yeah, a very educated speaker from Nashville talking about music scene. And this I becoming ah is what defines the South. So all the way from Virginia to Texas, we find that words like time and wide and high have become a single sound. Now, the real disagreement in the South is about the words that end with P, T, K, and S. So it's, again, class stratification. Working class people are the ones who say, nice white rice.
Nice white rice.
And wiping up the tablecloth. In the central area, the inland South, everybody does it in the Birmingham, Chattanooga, Knoxville area.
Let me get back to our callers. We've got Eric from Doylestown joining us this morning on Radio Times. Hi, Eric. Go ahead.
Hi. As a Southerner living in Pennsylvania, I'm pretty aware of the self-consciousness factor in vowel shifts. I'm not sure. I'm from Knoxville, Tennessee, and we were just talking about that, so I wasn't sure if I sounded that way, but I am. And I was wondering if Mr. LaBeouf was familiar with a Saturday Night Live skit called Pat and Patty's Backpack Shack.
I don't know that one, Eric.
In which they've done it several times now, and they basically that's the whole joke, is they sell snacks and slacks, and basically commenting on that sound that Mr. LaBeouf opened the show with. And I was wondering if he was aware of that and if he thought that self-consciousness might kind of retard the progress of this shift.
I don't think it's going to happen. Mass media don't influence people that much. Just think about NYPD Blues. Any of you have heard that show?
Sure.
It's about New York City cops, right? And there's one fellow in there who is completely different in every word he says from everyone else. And no one calls up and says, how did Sipowicz get to New York City? Because he frequently turns to people and said, what happened? When you hear that sound of what happened, you know he's not from New York City. So we're, as a nation, pretty much dialect deaf, I think. And maybe that's a good thing because we don't stigmatize people by the way they talk.
Because you often can make judgments about the way people talk. I wonder, though, Eric said, I wondered whether you could detect the Knoxville, Tennessee part of his voice. Do you detect anything, kind of a southern lilt in the way that Eric spoke with us?
We find that the words that are... most characteristically Southern are sit and pet and butt and cut. Because if I say, I'll make you a bet, that's fine Northern, even bet. But a bet, really sounds Southern.
Right.
And there's a kind of a distribution of energy in the South that's different. People call it a drawl. Some Southerners talk faster than any Northerner. We still call it a drawl.
And any final comments, Eric, before we say goodbye?
Not really. But I find this a very fascinating topic.
And you want to say the word B-E-T for us?
Bat.
Bat? How do you do?
Thanks, Eric. Problem is with the word get. I still say get instead of get.
Instead of get.
I'm working on it, though, here in the Philadelphia area.
Well, you snuck in under our radar,
well,
Eric. Thank you.
You haven't moved out of the South too far, because Philadelphia is the northernmost of the southern cities. In Philadelphia, the word O-N is pronounced on, waiting on line. North of that line, it's on. And that's just that one particular word that jumps back and forth between on and on. But the northerners say on, and all of the South says on.
Well, that's interesting. You're saying as a linguist that Philadelphia and it's this region is the northernmost part of the southern U.S.?
You hear this mostly in the sound of go, which was perhaps originally go. And in Philadelphia, it's go.
Go.
Or go. And that's true of all these Midland cities like Columbus and Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. But Philadelphia is one of the strongest. Go, but goal, if it ends with an L. And that's what unites Philadelphia with the South and all the way down through Florida. All the words that are O in the North become O or O or O.
And what about beautiful, which is very Philadelphia, I always think?
Yeah, putting in that E, beautiful, is a really characteristic stereotype. It's beginning to fade because Philadelphians are self-conscious about it. But what all Americans are doing is moving the sound of ooh in to and do. When I was a kid, Ghost said boo. Today, Ghost say boo.
Oh, boo.
Boo, do, soon. All of those oohs are moving towards ew.
And you're saying this is a national trend?
Yes. It's a continental trend because Canadians do it too. And only in a few spots, Minnesota and Wisconsin, where we have a sort of a Scandinavian substrate, and Eastern New England are resisting it. But this is a continental-wide shift where instead of making us all different, we're all doing the same crazy thing.
Living at hey, Eric, thanks for calling in Radio Times. We've got Susan from Westchester. Hi, Susan. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Hi. I grew up in Pittsburgh. Actually, I didn't grow up in Pittsburgh. I grew up in the Philadelphia area in Westchester. But I was born in Pittsburgh, and most of my family still lives in Pittsburgh. And it's just amazing when I moved out here when I was only 11, being a preteen adolescent, seventh grade, which was, I think, the worst time to move for anyone, everybody made fun of my accent from Pittsburgh. And what I found, and it's just funny because I actually studied communications at Westchester University, what I found just in my studies that the difference between Pittsburgh and Philadelphia accents, how I changed so much in my teenage years and everything, how I found that a Pittsburgh accent seemed to have sort of a southern drawl as well as a lot of people used to tell me I sounded like I was from the South but had an Irish Scottish accent to it.
Well,
so,
let me
just know where I grew up in Pittsburgh, I mean, it was a melting pot, but there was a lot of Irish, Italians, German, you know, a lot of that different cultures, but primarily a lot of people were Irish.
Well, it's an interesting comment. I'll tell you what, Susan, we're up on a break here, and we'll hear from our guests after this short break, and we're talking about changing accents, vowel sounds. Our guest is linguist William LaBeouf, and full bank of calls here. We'll get back to our callers. Also play some more selections of various accents and pronunciation of vowels after this short break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Villanova University proudly supports WHYY. For students looking for a master's degree program that can be customized to their personal interests, Villanova University's Master of Arts in Liberal Studies is a special program that allows students to tailor a course of graduate study from a broad selection of courses in the humanities and social sciences. More information is available at Villanova's Graduate Open House on Tuesday, March 14th from 3:30 to 7:30 p.m. Details online at openhouse.villanova.edu.
Behind the headlines, behind the facts and figures, are the people who make decisions and the people those decisions affect.
On Day to Day, we meet those people and ask them what happened and why. I'm Alex Chadwick.
And I'm Madeline Brand. For the news and the people behind the news,
please join us for Day to Day from NPR News.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY. I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. We'll speak with Pulitzer Prize-winning historian Gary Wills, his new book, What Jesus Meant. Also, Stacey London of TLC's What Not to Wear on Celebrity Image and Eating Disorders. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture here and now. Today at noon on WHYY.
This is Radio Times. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Today on the show, we're talking with linguist William Labov, co-author of a new book called The Atlas of North American English Phonetics, Phonology, and Sound Change, written with Sharon Ash and Charles Bieberg. And we're playing selections as well and taking phone calls. I wonder if you could just respond to Susan's question. She thought, growing up in Pittsburgh, that she detected this both sort of southern drawl or lilt with maybe something Irish sounding.
Well, the collapse of Cot, Caught, Don, Dawn, Hawk, which is so total in Pittsburgh, is probably the result of very large movements of Slavic people early in the 19th century. And that's still going on in eastern Pennsylvania in a further collapse in the coal mining areas. So it's one of the few examples where we can point to immigration as being a cause of some of the changes taking place. The southern part is identifying the go. The go I gave you in Philadelphia is also very strong in Pittsburgh, where it's go, but G-O-A-L is goal.
Huh. Interesting. Let me get to Joan from Newtown Square to join us. Hi, Joan. Go ahead, your Radio Times.
Hi. Yeah, my husband's from, I grew up in this area, and my husband's from Yonkers. And my children are adopted from Korea, but my children are picking up his accent, as in, instead of drawer, he says draw, and for chocolate, he says chocolate, and for towel, he says towel.
Towel?
And they pick up, and I'm a full-time mother at home, and I'm around them more, but yet they're picking up his accents.
Well, does he give them chocolate more than you do, Joan?
No, I think I do.
You do. What do you think, Bill?
Well, you're right in the forefront of linguistic research, because we really want to know just how and when children pick up their parents' accents and where they take it from there. But you don't have to worry. The peer group is going to come in there and remold their accents so they'll sound pretty much locally, except for some of the very first things that you taught them. But Yonkers is, of course, very close to New York City, and you were hearing some of the New York City features you talked about, particularly the R becoming a vowel, as in draw. But the chocolate is the second feature. That aw sound is what most people throughout the United States hear as identifying New York. And it is true that in a belt of cities, our atlas shows, from Fall River down to Baltimore is where we hear aw. Philadelphia has aw, but New York is the leader, so it sounds like chocolate and lost.
But you're saying peer group does have a big influence on how people end up pronouncing certain words?
Well, we did a big study in a town called King of Prussia, which is a new town.
Outside of Philadelphia.
Yep. Just half of the people came from Philadelphia and half came from Cleveland, New York, and New England. Within a few years, all the children had adopted the main features of the Philadelphia accent, except for certain of those deep down decisions about which word goes where that they got from their parents.
Huh. Let's play another selection. This is from Lubbock, Texas. Obviously, we're talking deep south here. Something we should listen for, Bill Labov?
Well, let's hear what she has to say about Lubbock, first of all, because people are very conscious of their town and quite proud of it. And in our atlas, our telephone calls throughout the country, one of our main topics is, tell us about your town. And those feelings tell us something about it, too.
Let's listen.
Lubbock is a town of nearly 200,000 people. It was a very, very small town until World War II in the late 40s. It's a very nice town. The people are wonderful. People come here and they say, oh, you don't have any scenery. You don't have mountains or you don't have seashore. And we say, but stick around long enough and you'll like the people. And they do.
Well, we can certainly hear that.
Did you hear her say, the light 40s? Most
the
of
light.
You think she was talking about the light 40s. No, this is a case where the word late moves downward to where light was. And light will become that. So she said the light 40s.
Well, I've heard several voices, including some of our callers, that end sentences going up. Is that regional? Or is that gender?
This uptalk, it's called, has been a study of linguists throughout the world. Australia was the first place was really reported. And people have noted that young people are ending their declarative sentences with a rising intonation.
Right, which you normally would associate with a question, wouldn't you not?
Yes. it's extraordinary how widespread it is. This is one of the several changes that have taken place in English which are not regional. People first hear it as a regional pattern or childish pattern, and then they discover everybody's doing it.
Right. Interesting. Let's play one more clip, and then we'll get back to our callers. This is one you brought in today, highlighting New York City. I haven't heard this, but again, something to listen for?
Yeah, New York has been heavily stigmatized and made fun of, and gangsters talk that way, and comedians. But New Yorkers are very proud of their speech, and here's the biggest city of the country with a stigmatized dialect, people think, but it's holding on very, very well. And you hear some of the reason why when you listen to it.
This is it.
I was born on 123rd Street in New York City. I love it. If you offered me $10 million, I would not leave where I am. It's locale here, the area, everything is perfect. I'm never lonely. I'm never in a position where I need really help from anybody because I'm surrounded by stores and I have everything right here.
Well,
you heard lots
pretty
of,
obvious, right?
Lots of words where the final R, like stores, are pronounced as a vowel. Now, New Yorkers tend to replace that R just like people from the rest of the country and the eastern United States will put their R's back in when they're careful. But this is the older pattern where all the words that end in R are pronounced like a vowel, as stores and cars. And what you were listening to is an unreconstructed New Yorker.
And I think just even the way she talked proved that point as well. Mm-hmm. Let me get Sue from Wayne to join us. Hi, Sue. You're on Radio Times. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's fun to listen to all of this discussion. I have to say that my question has changed somewhat from the original as I've listened to some more of the discussion. I had originally wanted to know about what I would call military speak. There seems to be a certain way of talking among military personnel or people who have been in the military that seems different from the old military of, let's say, World War II. Listened to news clips of people talking from that era, military personnel. It seems different from the people in the military who are talking now, and my brother is one of them.
Okay. Well, you know what? That was your original question, so let's take that and to see if... William LaBeouf, have you looked at how certain institutions, that would be the military in this case, create a certain kind of speech or speech pattern or vowel pronunciation?
When I was in the service in the 50s, the Southern speech really dominated the military down in Paris Island. You would hear all kinds of Southern forms, and these drill instructors would beat it into you over and over again. That may have changed. One of the things that we linguists have studied is military post as a place where new dialects are formed, and the question is how quickly to be formed. So you get people move around a great deal, but their children tend to form a dialect. My colleague has studied in, Gillian Sankoff has studied in New Guinea, military bases where the language Tok Pisin is being developed as a national language becoming the children's language in these military bases. Military posts are kind of the extreme example of a hothouse situation where a new dialect can form.
And form rather quickly, I guess.
Yeah.
Because of this hothouse environment.
Yeah, and of course, if it is formed, it may not last too long because people will be moved around even further.
And so you had another question, did you?
Well, that kind of is the follow-up to my question. My brother lost a lot of his... accent, except for the pronunciation of Vietnam, which it seems is unique to the military. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Yes, my other question was about Valley Girl talk, that accent. I don't know if your guest has talked about that, and whether the girls who pick up on that so quickly, or any teenager, that kind of accent,
mm-hmm.
whether they will lose that when they are influenced more by other peer groups in business or...
Well, and I hear, A, we would hope so, as the sort of undercurrent of your question. So go ahead, Bill LaBeouf. Thanks.
Well, Valley Girl Talk started with Moon Zappa. And
son of, or daughter, I should say, of Frank
Zappa, right.
Yes.
And the West, where this dialect was launched, is different from the Midland areas in that O is not pronounced as O. I've been quoting Philadelphians and Pittsburghians as saying O and other Southerners saying go. Well, in most of the South, though people will say to, they will say go. But because that's the basic pattern, it's the launching pad for Valley Girl Talk. And so anytime a Westerner says go, you right away hear it as something special. And it's true, teenagers have developed that, and it's quite possible that they're going to recede when they get older because it's a mark of adolescent speech. So the West is hard to define. It is a new area. It's not got a lot of divisions within it that we can point to. But one of the things we do know is that when Westerners start to say go, people perk up their ears and say, oh, what's she trying
Something's
to do?
Something's happening here. Yeah. Plus, you have a governor of a state who calls his state California. You know, I don't know whether an individual can change a pronunciation of a word or not.
No, but it shows that you don't have to pronounce everything like the locals in order to become successful.
Apparently. Let me get Sherry from Allentown to join us. Hi, Sherry. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. How are you?
Okay.
I was born in Texas, reared in Nashville, lived in California, St. Louis, and Norfolk, Virginia before moving to Allentown 4 years ago.
Okay.
And so my question, I have one question about Norfolk, because I know earlier in the program you were talking about the OU as in house in the Canadian pronunciation, but that was very prevalent in Norfolk, and I was always curious as to how that got there because it seemed unique to that region. And my second question had to do with cadence because, frankly, moving around as much as I have, I've noticed that people, I'm able to identify more rather than accent just from the cadence of speech where they might be from.
Sure, and that's probably a whole other subject for discussion, but thank you, Sharon. Yeah, go ahead.
Let's go back to Norfolk.
Yes, please.
Because I just finished teaching a class in dialect geography where we were looking at Norfolk and Richmond, which did have exactly that pronunciation of oat and south. And the as you move outward to Roanoke and New Bern, North Carolina, we had out.
Ah.
So the question is, these two pronunciations are fighting with each other. And what has happened is that the south and oat has disappeared pretty well with younger people, and the ow pronunciation is one out. And that's also true in Canada. Some studies of the Canadian south and oat found that young people in Vancouver are starting to say out, and young people in Toronto are starting to say oat. So people are playing a lot of games with that ow sound. Fundamentally, the northern United States says out, and the southern half, including this Midland area, says out.
Huh. Is there correct and incorrect in your mind when talking about or thinking about how people pronounce things?
No. Linguists are the friends of sound change, and there are a lot of enemies running around, but it turns out that the language will go where it's going to go, no matter what we think or say about it.
Let me get to another caller to join us. This is Veda from Yardley. Veda, go ahead, your Radio Times.
Hi, Marty.
Hi.
Great show.
Thank you.
I have a question for your guest. I'm originally from New York. I live in Yardley area now. My sister, her name is Carol, C-A-R-O-L. She moved out to California and then Las Vegas, and she, as an adult, has changed her pronunciation to Carol, almost like it's K-E-R-O-L. And it's a change of the mouth and the way she pronounces those vowels. Is that something that you've seen before? And as an adult, don't you think it's odd that people change? She almost doesn't even hear her change.
Well, we don't want to get caught into the middle of a sisterly squabble here, but let me get Bill LaBeouf to respond.
Mary, Mary, Mary. Carol fell in with the Mary class. Those three vowels are different before R in the middle of a word. For a large part of the eastern United States, New York and some parts of New England. But for most Americans, the first two words, Mary and Mary, are the same, Mary. And then for even greater number, all three are the same. So when she said Carol, She was also saying Mary, Mary, and Mary. Hmm. This city of Philadelphia we're in is unique. They make a difference between all three of the words, Mary, Mary, and Mary. But Mary is very much like the boy's name Murray. Furry and furry are the same. So this is a very confusing area, and when she adopted that Western pronunciation, she was going native.
Well, but I would think, I mean, that I think many of us change the way we speak depending on the context in which we're speaking. Don't you think that the kind of conversation you'd have around a kitchen table would be one that would be different from the one we're having on the air now, or the one you might have in a classroom with your students?
That's the main business of our social linguistic technology. We train students to go out into the world and meet people, make their acquaintances, and in a couple of hours be talking to them in a way that's fairly close to the way they might have talked if they'd known them for 20 years. Well,
right.
We can't approximate that, but we do know that people shift their speech a great deal when you stick a microphone in front of their face.
Because they're aware that this right. is, they probably get more formalized.
It depends upon how old these sound changes are and how much people have become aware of them. So New York, Boston, the South, you get the greatest shift. But when the new sound changes come along, as in Canada, if you're talking about, or the northern city shift, people will not change their speech, particularly when you stick a microphone in front of their face. And when they read lists of words, they'll go even further in the new direction. So this is part of the life history of sound changes.
Well, we're almost out of time here, and you've been tracking this northern city vowel shift. Is this something that you think that is ongoing? I mean, is this ongoing research and just watching where and how this vowel shift then is going to show up in other parts of the country?
The most mysterious thing is the fact that it stops short right on a line that runs south of Cleveland, over Indianapolis, and through the lower third of Illinois. And that line was established 100 years earlier by the settlement patterns. So north of that line, people used to build frame houses. South of that line, they'd build log cabins. It's a deep division. And we're quite puzzled to discover that this northern city shift just stopped short on a line that was established 100 years before it started.
Well, much more to talk about. I thank you, William LaBeouf, for joining us today on Radio Times. He's a linguist at the University of Pennsylvania, co-author of a book entitled The Atlas of North American English Phonetics, Phonology, and Sound Change, written with Sharon Ash and Charles Boberg. We had assistance today from Dan Polig, Scotty Williams, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times. The producers of the program, Susan Greenbaum, Alan Tu, and Devorah Lissick. I'm Artie Moscoe, and you're listening to WHYY-FM Philadelphia, serving Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware, and worldwide at whyy.org.